This canteen isn't what it was.
Why, what was it?
Used to be an organ loft.
You mean this was a church?
No, a transplant hospital.
Excuse me.
Where are you going?
I'm taking this grilled liver back.
Hello, you three. Hello there, young Dennis. What am I saying?
I got here early, had a lovely lunch. Grilled liver, sauté kidneys and stuffed heart.
Oh.
Feel like a new man.
You probably are.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Good God, they've aged.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we start tonight's show, we're delighted to announce that our special guest in the studio tonight is Terry Wogan.
There he is, sitting in the third row, between the meth drinker and that lady with the handlebar moustache. Hello, Terry.
And so, on with the show. We've got a real belter for you tonight. But you'll be meeting her later on. So, meanwhile, in the council chambers...
Excuse me.
Sit down, Terry.
No, I thought I was the guest.
You are, and very welcome. Now go and sit down.
I haven't got a script.
We don't give our audiences scripts. They know the jokes anyway. Go and sit down.
But if I'm the guest...
You got an introduction, a round of applause and a free seat. What more do you want?
Everyone gets a free seat.
Shh. We've been charging 50p a head.
What?
If we don't, by the time we've paid our bus fare home, we're out of pocket.
Well, I thought I was...
Terry, my patience is wearing thin.
Soldier's suit.
Pardon?
Oh, you look at those sleeves. Grey, wrinkled, shapeless. Oh, sorry, those are your arms.
Go and sit down.
I can't. Your man has spilt Mets all over the seat. I mean, look at him there. Slumped in that greasy raincoat, unshaven, and the boots with last week's Sunday Mirror sticking out. I'd complain to me agent, but for one thing.
What's that?
He is me agent. He handles Eamon Andrews, you know.
He's Eamon's agent?
No, just keeps going up to him and handling him.
Terry, although I, quite sincerely, find this deeply and rivetingly dull, we have to get on with the show.
You mean I can't do anything?
I've heard that.
Contribute to your show at all?
Yes! Shut up!
Lads, I think we're being a bit hard on him.
Thank you, madam.
My pleasure, Mr. Aspel.
This could turn very nasty.
What?
This three-week-old pork pie. I got it in the canteen.
Why didn't you eat it?
I don't like this label on it. Packed under the personal supervision of Dr. Christian Barnard.
I once found a worrying label on a tin of corned beef at home, you know. It said, eat before the Munich crisis.
There is something you could do, Terry, that would help make the show go with a swing.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Go and get the teas.
I will, sir, he said, trying to ingratiate himself with the three aging funsters. God knows why. What's the order?
5 teas, 2 with sugar, 2 without, 1 lemon, 2 cheese and chutney sandwiches, 1 brown, 1 white, 2 corned beef, 1 egg and cress, and a packet of those biscuits with the squash flies in them.
Got it.
You better ask the others what they want.
Saints and embalming fluid preserves. What would you like, Mr. Cryer, sir?
To think I've sunk to this.
Meanwhile, here is a meanwhile.
Meanwhile, in a police station, a constable enters with a member of the public.
Hit me with your rhythm stick.
Oh.
Hit me.
All right, Carruthers. Oh. What's all this about?
Hit me with that rhythm.
All right. Let's have the old story.
Well, I found the constable outside like this, and I thought we could take him here.
Cocoa, 2 packets of biscuits and some jelly babies, all boys.
Right, good, good. One of you is give me a hand.
What, to help carry the tea back?
No, to help carry the list out.
Oh.
Good evening and welcome to the Stuffed Pullet interviews in which Bernard Stuffed Pullet interviews a man.
Good evening.
I shall have to consult my solicitor about that.
Why?
He lives on the Air Ministry roof.
I see. You are Ruskin Pullthrough.
No.
Sorry, I'm Ruskin Pullthrough. No, I'm not. I'm Bernard Stuffed Pullet. Do you know anybody called Ruskin Pullthrough?
I have an aunt who once met Ida Lupino.
I see. I don't think that's entirely relevant. Does the name Ruskin Pullthrough mean nothing to you?
I haven't changed at all, you alluring minx, with a twinkle in your eye and a Lurex patch over the other one.
You and your blarney, Mr. Woggan.
Hang on, Woggan, was that the name you wanted?
No, Pullthrough, Ruskin Pullthrough. Oh. I can't stand any more of this. I'm going to end it all.
Well, I've got everything. Where's everybody gone?
My name's Ruskin Pullthrough. Anyone been asking for me?
Not unless you're a cheese and chutney sandwich.
Who are you?
Terry Wogan.
What a funny name. Anyway, if anybody wants me, I'll be in the canteen having gallbladder and chips.
I think something's happened to me. I think this is where feckless DJs go when they die. Take care, Jimmy Young.
Terry, we've had a little chat and we've decided that as you are our guest on the show, you should have the occasional bit.
I am a married man, you know.
No, you feckless thing.
I am.
No, what we mean is we should use you in the show.
Little parts.
Now, that's a conversational gambit I refuse to pursue. What you're saying in your own bumbling way is that I can do something.
Yes, you feckless star person. For instance, you can do this nature corner.
Nature Corner. How to recognize a feckless Irish cuckoo.
It persuades other birds to lay feckless eggs in its nest.
Terry, may I say, in your delivery of that line, you combined the charm of Bernard Manning with the timing of a £3 watch.
That is an unfair contest. Don't cross swords with me. I've banged my head on the Blarney Stone 7 times.
You're supposed to kiss it.
I know. I can never get the hang of it.
At the Blarney Stone.
My Albert's kissing the Blarney Stone right now.
What's it supposed to do?
It's supposed to turn the thickest yobbo into a suave, silver-tongued charmer.
Here, glad you got a big red pimple on your rooter.
It worked!
Have you ever worked in Ireland, lads?
Don't be silly, nothing works in Ireland.
Is that where you started, Terry?
I started in the radio, holding up the caption cards at the end of the programmes. From there, it was but a short step to being Director General. But I missed the step and became a producer, responsible for such successes on Irish radio as the well-known panel game, Two Questions.
Surely you mean 20 questions.
No. Our panel could only ever think of two. And by chance, on the inside pocket of this immaculately cut suit, I happened to have a cassette of one of our broadcasts. Would you like to hear it? And so you shall.
And the next object is a potato. A potato.
Right, panel. The next object is mineral.
Can you eat it?
You have to.
What is it?
A potato. Now, what about that? We did them all, you know. Listen, here's our version of any questions. Well, here we are in the town hall of Ballybunion. Are there any questions? That gentleman over there.
I'm the caretaker, sir. Should I let them people in now?
Thanks, Terry. That's...
No, no. Listen to this one.
Listen, you big soft mick. Hi, fans. Dennis Charmer King here. If you don't shut up for my song, Wogan, I'll shove a potato up your nose. Bye, fans.
what a sore loss he must have been to the diplomatic corps.
Back in the old days we dream about sin, but real life was lived with propriety. Until overnight we all saw the light, and we had the permissive society. And men who once were furtive and repressed are now with it and at it and totally depressed. We've let it all hang out, we've let it all hang out, from the Orkney Isles the whole way to Devizes. If we want to or not, we've seen what you've got in all colours, in all shapes and in all sizes. We've bared our soul and our chest along with the rest, the ladies as well as the men. Oh yes, there is no doubt, we've let it all hang out. Now don't you think it's time we put it back again? Way back in history, apes became men, a process they called evolution. Since then, so I've heard, not a great deal occurred till the sexual revolution. And ladies who once lived their lives in guilt are now outrageous, aggressive, and bored up to the hilt. We've let it all hang out, we've let it all hang out. In a way, we're really making sexual history. And what once was concealed, now entirely revealed, and is killing off the magic and the mystery. What was our dream of delight is a terrible sight, and tends to dull the appetite, not whet it. Oh yes, there is no doubt, we've let it all hang out. Now can we simply tuck it back and just forget it? Things You Never Wanted to Know, number 102.
Some of the most popular furniture in the 19th century was designed by a carpenter, Arthur Wood, renowned for his fine craftsmanship and his habit of kissing sailors a lot. This became known as bent wood furniture.
And now, an oasis of peace in a desert of vulgarity, Tim's Cozy Corner.
Hello, everyone. Here's a thought to keep you going when the cat's been sick on the carpet. Don't think of the moments that life's passed you by. Don't think of the chances you've missed. Don't think of if only or what might have been. Go out and get Mozart and Liszt.
Another moving moment from Tim Brooke Taylor, Poetry's Prune Juice. Now, tips for travellers. Australia.
What to do in the outback?
Whistle, there's no lock on the door.
This way! Who was that?
My mother. She wanted a shortcut to Canada.
Your mother?
Yes, Ireland's only female one-man band. What she can do with a pair of cymbals and a pension book would gladden the hearts of Lord Delfont and all the little cherubim. She plays regularly on the Lusitania.
That went down over 60 years ago.
She can hold her breath for quite a long time. What's that, Mother? Oh, I think there's one down the corridor. Well, I'll ask the commissionaire. There's no need for that, Mother. You've got a wicked tongue on her.
Yeah, it's funny, Terry. Your mother's accent's a bit like my mother's, except she's more... Oh, there you are, Mother. We were just talking about you. I'm not sure, but if you follow Mrs. Wogan, you might find one.
Do all your mothers come to the show?
Yes, but my mother and Barry's have to sit outside. They're always arguing. Listen.
Times when this show verges on the silly.
You little cherubim, you think that was silly? Listen to this.
Habitat Flourish, Space Vicar, Episode 7, Noddy and the Mormons.
Having escaped from the clutches of Edna, the tiger woman of Ponder's End, Habitat returns to the safety of his own home.
I'm home, dear! My pigeons!
No, dear, but there's one of them just arrived with a message tied to its leg.
Hurriedly, Habitat unfurled it. Not easy, as you'll know, if you've ever tried to unfurl a pigeon's leg.
Your special talents required, Tokyo. On arrival, report to Yakamaka Sakarika Mahashikoli Matsuhuri Sakalakala Mashishimara.
Said like a cherubim.
A feckless one.
Oh, feckless indeed.
Thank heaven this pigeon has a long leg. To the airport.
All right, dear.
Not you, you old bat. Me.
Oh. Aer Lingus announced the departure of Mickey Mulligan's plane to either Manchester or Tokyo. It'll go when the big hand's on 12 and the little hand's on 7. By the way, Mick, your mam said, could you bring her back either some fried squid or cotton chips, depending on where you finish up?
Habitat boarded the plane and immediately fell asleep. Rather awkward for the other passengers who had to climb over him to get in. Through the night, the plane droned on, reached the end of the runway and ran out of fuel. Habitat went to Tokyo by bus.
One workman's return, Tokyo, please.
Oh, God, blimey, goodness gracious, another thick mick. Oh. You can't get a bus from here to Tokyo. You have to change at Budapest. Oy.
Habitat changed at Budapest so thoroughly that when he emerged from the ladies, he was a beautiful geisha girl. His Tokyo contact, Yakamaka Sakahari Makawaka Lakahuri Sakaluma, spoke.
Call me Reg.
You speak Harry Goringresh?
Yes, Yakamaka Sakahari Makawaka Lakahuri Sakaluka Shishamara. I haven't had to use it for some time, you understand. But it's an old English name.
You mean like Smith or Brown, only wronger?
No, more like Yakamaka Sakahaki. No, well, anyway. It means he of the red hair with the midwife's bicycle who descends from the hills every year and gets all the village girls in the pudding club.
What do you want me to do, Lavi-san?
Well, it's like this. I think the Toyota factory's blown up.
No, it's raining Datsun cogs.
Suddenly, three men burst in the room.
Who are the mysterious three men who exploded? Why is the Beverly Sisters agent upset? What is Terry Wogan doing in this rubbish? The answers to all these questions and less in last week's episode, next week on this channel, now.
And now it's time to visit the tinsel world of Edna Follicle.
In which Edna and her team of raving reporters expose the pimples on the backside of show business.
Plans are afoot for a new film to be made entirely on location in Blackpool, in which a flock of sheep worship a stuffed dummy. It is to be entitled The Labour Party Conference.
Filming in Scotland, Steve McQueen has changed his name to George Pump, as he was becoming irritated with members of Scottish Gay Lib coming up to him and saying, "Hello, Steve McQueen."
And I'll be back next week looking at some of Robert Morley's parts. Now, for those of you listening who have weak bladders, a musical interlude.
The feeling that I have for you, I really can't explain. I'm very bad with words, but I will try just once again. I've got the noodles for you. I grilled upon your thrum and beep. I've got the gitty bangs too. I'm even spurging in my sleep. Your curtsy is adorable. Your pokey wit divine. I want to slidge you in my arms and wrinkle you'll be mine. I've got the noodles for you. You're the only one to win my splan. My little gibbet, you're the only one to munch my prit.
Nothing wrong with that.
And now the prize for the best original dramatic poem by a boy with a wart on his chin. This has been won by Wogan Maximus.
You're very kind.
With his poem, The Ballad of Matilda Boyce. And here he is to read it for us.
The Ballad of Matilda Boyce by Terence Wilberforce Dorking Wogan. Aged 14, or thereabouts. This is the tale of Matilda Boyce, who lived in a forest dell. Her eyes were limpid pools of blue, but the rest of her face was hell. Matilda was a mysterious child, although there was lots of talk. Her mother was a Dublin girl, and her father, some soldiers from Cork. One day she strolled through the forest. Right there, on a toadstool, was sat a little green man who had little green eyes and little green balls on his hat.
Are you a leprechaun?
No, I'm Ronnie Corbett, rehearsing for Robin Hood. Oh. Of course I'm a leprechaun. Help me, I've got me foot caught in this bear trap.
What's a bear trap doing in an Irish forest?
Ask Wogan, it's his bloody poem.
So, Tilly worked hard to release him, with many a grunt and a cough. And soon he laid there with his poor foot all grazed, and the balls on his hat had come off.
I'll grant you three wishes,
the leprechaun said.
Anything you care to name.
Me first is a Guinness that never runs dry. And my second, one more of the same.
But what is your third?
Said the little green man, as he pinned his balls back into place.
I'd like to see London.
Matilda replied. Said the leprechaun,
right, pack a case. I'll work me magic for you, little girl, as sure as me name is O'Bannon.
With a wave of his fingers, he whisked her away to the end of a queue out of Channel. In London at King's Cross, poor Tilly was lost. She'd no money and she had no plan. But before she could ask anybody's advice, she bumped into a dirty old man. I presume you're playing this, crier.
Why?
I've seen the negatives.
Oh. Hello, my pretty.
The D.O.M. said, suavely removing his hat. Then he took off his shirt and his trousers as well. Then he shouted with glee,
follow that! I am the Right Honourable out of Scansion, Jedworth Stench, eccentric millionaire and connoisseur of beauty. I want you for my shop window.
And what do you do?
I doctor cats.
Oh, why do you want me in the window?
What would you put in the window?
Oh.
Oh. Though Stench made her famous, when Tilly looks back, the thought of that day always rankles. She was swept off her feet by his power and his charm, and the way that he grabbed both her ankles. He whisked her away to his semi in Penge. He plied her with whiskey and gin. He bought her a frock and a pair of high heels, and then introduced her to Sin.
Tilly, my dear, this is Godfrey Sin, good friend of mine. Take care of him.
What can I do for you, Mr. Sin?
Well, my dear, I don't want to shock a simple village girl. But would you... climb on top of the wardrobe. Put on this top hat and pour this cold custard all over me.
Oh, no, not the old top hat and cold custard off the top of the wardrobe routine.
Tilly was made for the life that she led. A courtesan, joyous and free. And when I say free, I mean happy, of course. She charged all the fellas a fee. Sin spread the word and soon it got round, and the gentlemen vied for her favours. She progressed from the wardrobe and custard routine to jelly in four different flavours. Her name became legend, the breath of the land, and sometimes the length up and down. She'd get into a bed with a youngster well-bred and he'd wake up the toast of the town. But back in the village, where females were short, there was just one to each 24 men. One would say,
"Tilly Boyce, come on back to the lads."
And the others would chorus,
"Amen."
And then every night, when the bar had closed up, after supping the stout all day long, the lads of the village would stand on the green and loudly would sing out this song.
Said our cheeky.
Goodbye, cheeky.
That was Hello Cheeky, starring Tim Brooke Taylor, Barry Pryor, and John Junkin, with their special guest Terry Wogan. The script was by Barry Pryor and John Junkin, with bits by Tim Brooke Taylor, and the music was by the Dennis King Trio. The show was produced by David Hatch. Toodaloo.
Set up.
Terry's first round.